Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we are live with Talk Radio Diva TV, and it is Easy Life Coach, Wellness Coach, Sport Coach, and as well as Relationship Coach. I wanted to make sure that we are live, ready to go, and everything is presented to you guys in our professional life and everything else. So let's go ahead and get this part started here about dating tips and what to do, like when you are starting out in that dating arena. It is not easy to get back in the saddle. And I wanted to have this conversation a little earlier, but I wanted to make sure that I had my presentation together and ready for you all. So with that being said, welcome to the show. And the number to call is 515-602-9765 if you want to go live with us to talk with us at the end of the show. Or if you want to call in and things like that and wait on the line, and then I'll be able to take callers in just a minute. Also, if you would like to, you are more than welcome to come live on the show and book your interviews and things like that, especially if you want to talk about certain things, if you want some advice live, we will be able to do that as well. And I want to make sure you guys understood. The number is 515-602-9765. And today's topic today is dating tips. Dating is something that we all have to learn how to be fine-tuning, the fine art of dating. And, you know, in the beginning of dating, we seem to think, oh, I've got this down pat. Oh, it's not going to be hard to do. Oh, I've got this down. And so something happens and I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm much more understanding how important it is to make sure that we understand that dating is about understanding ourselves and getting a better view. And I would like to say understanding about what you want before you go out there. So with that being said, let's go into some cool tips and things like that. And I wanted to ask you guys, have you guys ever had this situation where you're dating and you're still like, okay, I don't think I know what I'm doing. And then it's like, okay, now I know what I'm doing. Then it's like, maybe I don't. So I want you guys to understand, we're going to talk about some different tips so you guys will be a little bit more successful getting out there, thinking back out and settle. But one of the main things is, are you ready to date anyway? So part of that is asking yourself certain questions and things like that. So we're going to start with that part, and then we're going to go to the next thing. You know, I wanted to ask you guys, have you ever had a checkered sexual history that's built a lot of experience? So you think about this, your boyfriend might have trouble dealing with this, right? But that's something he must accept. So, and it's the same thing with having a girlfriend. And a lot of times when people are starting out dating, they're starting to begin to worry about those different things that come along. And the last thing your boyfriend or girlfriend wants to think about is how another guy's been with you, whether you're talking about sex or just hooking up. And they think sometimes, idea of how you get down to literally drive a person crazy. So when we think about this type of stuff, I would say limit the scope of your conversations when you're getting out there dating. Because, some things just don't need to be talked about in the beginning. So I wanted to get the, awkward stuff out of the way first about dating and successful tips for that. And, you know, if you've got a level of a checkered past, you kind of really want to be clear and understood and things like that, but you don't want to be over-understood to where the person's like, ew, you know? So I would like to say that one of those main tips for that would be, the last thing you need to do is over-give information, but you don't want to under-give information to where you're setting up the person for failure. So those are the first initial dating tips that I would say are partial to being important in the initial preliminary. So we're going to ask some questions about are you ready to date first, then we'll go into the different roles and areas and things like that. And also, we have to think about acceptance, and we have to think about levels of, you know, if we break up or things like that, and when you move on to someone else, the same scenario, and finding different successful ways to date. So when I tell you dating is something of another phenomenon, when you get to the beginning of your dating life, when you don't really know what to do, it's kind of like, okay, hit and miss, right? But when you're talking about layers of, trying to get out there and restart over, and then you're just like, I don't know if I'm ready to do this or not. So you just have to really get to the point that you just get out there and try anyway. But I wanted to kind of, give you guys a guide on how you know if you're ready to date or not. And then from there, we'll talk about the scenarios and the success things that you can do. So let's start this in that area, and then we'll work our way down to different things. And, you know, like I said, I have a bunch of tips and tricks up my sleeve. I just want you guys to be able to, like, enjoy it. And, you know, remember, everything that you do in your past sets the tone for, like, later on in your dating life. So part of that is being able to get a hold of having confidence to get out there and even try in the first place. And a lot of people just don't understand. If you don't try, you're never going to get a chance anyway. So part of that is being able to figure out, hey, have I healed my emotional self? Have I figured out what I want in my dating life? And then keeping self-respect while you're at it. And then on top of that, not allowing your past to rule your future. And then on top of that, going out there preparing to date is part of it. And so with that being said, let's talk about preparing yourself to date first, and then we'll go through the tips and tricks and things. So preparing yourself for dating is something that you've got to be able to do. And part of it is knowing that your self-worth is everything and your self-respect is everything. So put yourself out there, and, you know, even at the end of a marriage, end of a dating with somebody else, you got to put yourself out there again, like I said. And you can feel uncomfortable in the beginning and awkward or a little bit vulnerable. So it's okay to feel awkward, but then at the same point, you have to think about this might be especially true now that, you know, dating is in a digital age. And now you're on a cell phone, you got, like, levels of the apps that are out there. We're talking about the meat market apps, then we've got the non-meat market apps, then we've got the e-farming. So let's talk about the different types of apps first. First of all, we've got the Tinder. We know the Plenty of Fish. We know that's just nothing serious. We know the Craigslist and things like that. We know what's the meat market out here. But when we're talking about, like, serious dating, we're talking about your e-harmonies. We're talking about your, like, SilverSingles.com, you know, those different things like that. And when you're trying to get out there dating, and then we're talking about, like, Facebook has this new dating thing where you can learn how to date. And I'm like, okay. So when we're going and thinking about all of this, and we're thinking about how we get out there, and we try again, and it's like, oh, okay, what are we doing here? Okay, I'm getting out here dating, the dating fun. So I wouldn't recommend Plenty of Fish or Tinder unless you're trying to have a one-night stand. And, you know, a lot of people just, like, they don't get it because they're like, I can't find anybody on Tinder or Plenty of Fish. Oh, my God, can I just stop for anything other than getting your boning somebody and it's like a one-night anniversary? So when we think about all these different things, we have to figure out what's the quality of the app and the quality of the people that you're seeing. And then you've got to send them out. You can't automatically think you're going to find the love of your life on Tinder or Plenty of Fish. Come on, man. So when we think about that, we're getting out there, getting from being uncomfortable to being uninhibited out there, but not being out there too much. So that's part of getting out there and dating. Now, I want you guys to understand that, like, a lot of it is trying to navigate. That is not funny. Tinder, yes. What do you think of Tinder? Tell me about it. So when we talk about those, like, little apps and things like that, you want to go towards your eHarmonies, your Facebook dating, where they actually do a lot more of the psychosocial eval or, you know, things like that. It's not that, like, Tag doesn't do that. It's not like all your other websites, like Black Planet, don't do that. But it's more or less like you're going to get less likely of a fish market when you're trying to think about Tinder, Plenty of Fish, and things like that. So when we're talking about, like, actual dating, and you're talking about Silver Stable, and you're talking about things like that, it doesn't matter if they're big or small here because size doesn't really matter. And in the situation of dating, well, it depends on the person. Because some people like small women, some people like skinny women, some people like in-between chunky. It just depends on what you like. And that's another thing we're going to talk about dating, is legitimately what is your preference. Know what your preference is up front. I cannot tell you guys how many times people go out there and they're like, yeah, I'm going to go date, yeah. Or you go into a profile and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to get this person. Remember, like, Friday where the girl came up there and she thought, he thought he was going to, like, Janet Jackson, he got a Big Bertha. And then he was like, bro. And you see how he acted? It does seem like my friends to be full. Not all big women eat a lot. I'm a chunky woman and I don't eat a lot. But I've lost a lot of weight. I've lost, like, 131 pounds. So that's got something to me, so. But the thing is, I'm still in the Chunky Girl Club, and, like, I tell people, if you don't like it, don't look. It's not bad for the health. If you don't like the jelly rolls, if you don't like some of the little, you know, fluff, then don't look. So it depends on what somebody likes. And just like Devin here, he's got a certain preference. He might have some things he likes to eat. understand. He might like it, he might like it. So it's all good. It depends on what category you're in. And then on top of that, whether you're skinny, big, fat, tall, short, whatever, you just have to remember, it's all in the beauty of the eye of the beholder. So if some, to some guys, size doesn't matter. To some guys, size doesn't matter. To some girls, size doesn't matter. To some girls, size does matter. It's also like the same thing in the bedroom. Because it's like, okay, you know what? I've seen some small dudes in me. And then I've seen some small dudes, and they're like, and then I've seen some big dudes, and they're like, then there's some big dudes, and they're like, so when we're talking about this level of dating, we're talking about it doesn't really matter when it comes down to really, like, dating and getting serious with someone. You can always lose weight, but you can't grow one. So, you laughing at me? Yeah, but you're fine, though. Oh, thank you. So, when we think about this, when we're following a breakup and we're getting out here dating, what do you do? You think about, you might want to begin dating and you're getting your toe out there in the pond, whether it's the lady pond or whether it's the male pond. And you have to figure out how you're going to tread water here, right? So when we're thinking about treading water out here and getting out here and dating, we have to think about our self-reflection, both processing, and then figuring out our emotions, identifying what we can do better, and then on top of that, what we can do better in that future relationship, because sometimes our old relationships are tragic. Some of our new relationships can end up being tragic if we don't have our perspective together and what we're going to do. So when we're thinking about all this, when we decide to begin dating, it depends on our resilience level and our bounce back level. It's kind of like the bounce back, the whole world, and things like that. So you're getting out there and you're thinking about what you want to do. So you're just like, okay, I'm getting my mojo back, getting out there and bond, going to try some water here. And then when you start going and doing the speed dating and you start getting out there going out to the club or you go out there, it depends on where your quality of your dating pool depends on where you start getting. I'll just be honest with you guys. When you think about your resilience and ability to let go of the past, of course you have maybe have children at this time. Anybody above 30 probably has one child, or if not, will have a child. Or if you're over 30, you're probably got two or three, maybe five, I don't know. But when we think about this, it gets further complicated the more you add things and layers and caveats to it. So when you're getting back out there waiting the pond after you've either been married or you're divorced or you've been in a long-term relationship in your early 20s and then you're just like, okay, I'm out here. Okay, let me stick my toe in there and see how it works, you know. So when you're getting out there, you have to think about the issues to consider when you re-enter the dating scene. And when you think about any one relationship and then starting another one, you got to make sure that you have adequate closure. Adequate closure and adequate disclosure in the relationship so that the other party knows that it's over, it's done, it's like, it's over, it's my turn now, move over, it's now, so it's down. So when you think about this and you think about all the different steps that you're doing as a dating person and you're out there, you do not want the other party still having feelings for you if you haven't given them closure, inadequate closure. So one thing is, no matter how your last relationship ended, talking between relationships is a good thing. I did this for 3 years, and I decided to get out there and try again, quote unquote. And I got adequate closure in the last situation that I had. And, you know, getting out there and not giving out of desperation is the best thing that you can ever do. Giving yourself time to heal, giving yourself time to get closure mentally, emotionally, and really get back out there without having baggage. And part of it is that, you know, with COVID threw everything off. Then on top of that, I didn't get stuck in the situation that I was in. And I didn't expect to get stuck in the environment that I was in. So it's not exactly the great dating pool and the group beyond and go start over. But I got closure in the same place I started with. So therefore, I can move to the next location and begin to start over and be getting out there on, like, okay, some family and water, treading a little bit. We'll see how it works. So when we think about this, identify what we've learned from the past. When we think about this, you'll probably repeat unhelpful things that you're doing if you don't think about the patterns that made you fail in the first place in the last relationship or prior relationships and things like that. And you've got to know your patterns. And then you've got to know what you're attracted to and if you have a pattern of a certain type. And here's the thing. I tell people, stop having a certain type. Because when we have a type, we end up typecasting people. And then we start doing the shallow how or shallow Alicia. Yeah, well, I made that name up. So when we think about this, we're thinking about shallow how and shallow how Alicia. So a shallow Alicia might have blinders on looking for a certain type of shape, right? So when we think about this, I took the blinders off, and I stopped having a type. My type was, like, tall, skinny, and things like that. So I moved into an area of thick and, you know, even sometimes a little thick-alicious. So that's what I call my bigger guy, my big old teddy bears. And I call him thick-alicious. So when I started opening up my dating pool to a level of thick-alicious or to skinny or something, I learned to open up the dating pool so that I don't have a blinder on and be shallow and alicious and be like, oh, I can't date him because he's big, or I can't date him because he's skinny, or I can't date him because he's short, and things like that. Because, like, having a preference can have you looking at some dude, and you might be fine if I'll get out, but he's a turd. And a whole entire turd, first, second, third, military turd. So I did that. And you just don't want that. So when I started opening up the dating pool, I ended up meeting new, different types of people, quality people, and I found people that I actually learned a lot from. So it allowed me to have an open mind and then remember that I'm not perfect, so I don't want to be out here and having a certain type and then expecting that. But even if I was a whole diamond, three-quarter, three-pinch, it doesn't matter. As long as I understand that there's an open-mindedness there, there is a way to go and meet somebody new. So now my pool is like a little bit wider and things like that, but it's also like, okay, I still like to talk to these, but if they're muscular, great. If they're not, great. If they're big, great. If they're thick-alicious, great. If they're chunky, fine. No big deal. I have no big deal with that. Great. So that's how I want you guys to understand how you go to start looking at your dating pool and start to expand your horizons and begin to fly at least. So, and then you can narrow down what you're really attracted to and what you like and things like that. I didn't say you have to settle, but the thing is, if you open your mind and open your horizons when you go back out there, you won't tend to find the wrong type of person, guy or girl. And if you guys are heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, pansexual, transsexual, or whatever, whatever your preference is, whatever you were cisgendered at, whatever you have a preference for, it doesn't matter. The dating thing is the same as anybody else. So when we think about this, we think about considering how to grow as a person and as a partner with the next person that you want to be with. Because when we think about this, we have to think, okay, am I going to grow with you, or are we going to, like, do the same thing or not? So when we think about all this type of stuff, we have to take responsibility for our part in the prevention of the last relationship repeating itself with a new person. And also taking that back again. And successful relationships tend to happen once you accept all the stuff prior to getting into a new relationship. Because if you have excess baggage going into a new relationship and you're adding that layer of sauce in there, you're going to have destined for failure. So we think about this, it might take you need help. Sometimes having your friends pick out somebody for you is good, and sometimes it's not. It depends on what type of friends you have. If you've got a friend that's going to pick out somebody just like your ex, but don't do it. If you've got somebody who's going to be willing to go and look at your layer of a type of person that they know you like, and they start to interview that person, they'll kind of know whether or not the person's for you or not, and they'll be able to tell you up front, and like, okay, well, he's something. Okay, well, he's the one. Okay, just then you start listening, and you're like, oh, okay, maybe he ain't got no bad taste. And then sometimes when it's your friend, like, you don't know me at all, because there is no way in the heck you take this person out, and no one I don't like this person. So when we think about this, we can't be too picky. But we also can't be to the point that we get, like, what I call overly picky, and then you start losing the type of person that you should be with versus your typecast that you want to be with. And look at me versus want. Just because you want somebody doesn't mean that you need them in your life. So when we think about this, you have to get a life first. So when you think about this, you have to think about building a strong network. And building a strong network of friendships and enjoyable activities to meet the right type of person. Like I said, you get on your dating pool and where you're pulling from for you to get a good date. So when we think about preparing yourself for dating and following the end of a relationship, following the end of a divorce or our marriage or things like that, or a long-term, if you have had a life partner or something like that, you still have to go through the same steps, just different levels. So when we think about these questions, you have to ask yourself, are you ready to date after ending your relationship? We have to ask ourselves, do you consider contacting your ex whenever you have a problem? If it's not, then you're good. If your ex still has some of your possessions, then need to get them back, or you just need to let them go and went and have them donate to the church and call it a day. Okay? So, do you think about your ideas enough, or do you have to move on? I mean, you have to get to a point that you can live without someone and not take them to your life. So, when we think about this, we're thinking about levels and layers of you are having to be comfortable with seeing them in public with someone else. Yes, I got used to that, Aisha. And, you know, once you start moving on, you can start realizing, okay, it's over, it's been over for a long time. Okay, great. If I sing with somebody else, okay, great. We don't have to be all chummy and, ha-ha, hi. Like, okay, bye. You know, and things like that. So do you closely watch them on social media? Hell no. No. Not at all. Because there's a whole thing where you have to get to the point that you move on, and you go and meet new people. That means you don't check on your head. I don't check for none of my exes. I never have and will. So when we think about this, you want to date only and stop thinking about them, and you're not even thinking about them prior to going to dating. So that's the whole thing. When I said you have to have adequate closure, get adequate closure. Because when you go out there dating and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I've got closure and you really didn't have any fun, you're still thinking about your ex, you really need to make sure you have closure and you're not thinking about them at all. So, plus, I'm past that point. So I'm like, okay. Let's go date. Can we not take me out of date? Where are we going? Did you pay or no? So when we're thinking about things like that, that means you're lazy. So when I think about this, have you not examined how you contribute to the success of your life relationship? And do you know more than enough for repeat the same mistakes? So if you can say yes to all this and say that you're not doing any of this stuff of contacting your ex, or you're looking for them on social media, or you're doing any of that, then you're ready to date. If you're doing all the above still, then you need to be going back and looking and seeing what you need to do to go and get them out of your system. But, you know, when you have had time apart and you learn something without someone, you begin to realize, okay, I've learned without you. That's my change. So that's where I got you. And then I thought that given the situation I was in and things like that, I found that closure on all that. And then on top of that, with COVID going on, it's like, okay, that's not really neat right now. But again, myself trying to go and start looking at different scenarios and things that happen. But I can get through it and then move on. So I have. So when I think about this, do you see your commitment? Ask yourself this. Do you dislike becoming attached to people? Do you think about a new relationship and get that commitment for a moment? Or do you dislike monogamy or want to date multiple people? Then don't get into a committed relationship. Start in the con. But let people know up front, I'm not here for commitment. I'm here for just spending. And that's just as simple. Except when you think about this, if you're not over someone or if you are actually just looking for someone if you're lonely, just settle up front so they don't have any expectations to have anything more than that. So that's why I want you guys to understand getting back up and settle sometimes means just trying it all over again. And even if you just smash somebody, but if you just know that you're done, then that's cool. As long as you don't put any attachment or any expectations, then you should be good. So when you think about this, you want sex more than a relationship, then you're definitely not trying to look for commitment, but you need to tell that up front. So if somebody doesn't get into you and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I thought you were like, keep wanting to take that. It's just about you. So when you do that, you begin to let people know exactly where you stand. So it's not no confusion and somebody doesn't get butthurt when you finally tell them, what, I'm not looking for that. I'm just looking for somebody for a one-night anniversary. That's about it. You can lock my door for you. So when you think about those type of things, there are things, levels and layers of being able to get to a point that we understand where dating is going to be at and what boundaries you have in your dating life. So when we talk about that, what are your intentions? What are your must-have? Because part of this is, do you want, what's the one from a new partner? What do you want when you go out there and dating and things like that? I mean, figure out your relationship must-have, deal breakers and things like that. I mean, I want to look at certain different scenarios and things like that. So we're going through the success tips now so that you guys can understand what those scenarios can be. And then the dating advice has to go into that level and moving forward and moving on and upward. Because part of that is that if you're developing feelings and you feel like fleeing, then you're not into commitment. You're just looking for, like I said, a one-night anniversary, and you really don't think that you're going to be with that person. But if you're actually interested in this person, sparks and start to fall, and you start to rekindle your flames, and you start to feel some type of way, like, yeah, I like this person, I want to date them more than I smash them, then it's like, okay, cool. Then you're looking at what's the appropriate time to go get into sex with them, and what is the appropriate time to start going into intimacy and things like that. And if you're looking at it like that, you're going into dating without having sex immediately, then that's cool. You got to know what is comfortable for you and what avenues you're going to take in dating scenario. I mean, when we think about must-have deal breakers, what values are you most looking for? We're thinking about all these different things. We're thinking about everything that you possibly think of that would make you either turned off, turned on, or what would make you really want to date somebody and really want to get with them and be with them or date them and just smash them. So it's kind of like either smash or pass. Or if you're going to just do a whole thing of date, smash, or pass, or if you're going to do a whole thing of I'm just going to date and I'm looking for my soulmate, or I'm going to be looking for someone that's going to be a life partner, or I'm going to be looking for my wife, or for a man, my, yeah, well, for women, it's going to be my husband, and for, like, trans, whatever you prefer. And then on top of that, you're bisexual, homosexual, heterosexual, all this different stuff, you know, what you're going to look for that. So you'll know what you're looking for at that point in time. So when we think about this, are you independent, why or why not? Are you a person who's codependent? Why or why not? When you think about it, are you looking for someone to take care of you? Or are you looking to take care of someone else? Or are you looking for a little, let's go dash. You take care of me, I take care of you. So when we think about all of these different things, we're talking about how our dating scenarios come out and being able to work it out to the manner and pattern of, okay, this is how it's going to go. This is what we're going to do. And this is how it's going to be. So at that point, you have really worked on a layer and level and depth of, this is how it's going to be for us in the dating scenario, and where I'm going to head out for that. So when I think about how do we define dating, when we think about this, you can't, if you think about what are the first words when you hear the word dating, do you cringe? Do you feel some type of way? Do you feel apprehensive? Do you feel confident? Do you feel unconfident? And if you think about this, if you answer the answer awful or painful, try reframing your definition of dating. Because a lot of people have had bad experiences, and I've had those experiences to where dating is like, okay, it's tragic. And so I had to reframe my mindset on dating so I can get back out there and not automatically think, oh, I'm going to be like the last jerk. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to be the last jerk before that jerk. And it's going to be like, oh, I had the jerk before that jerk. So in that situation, you want to be able to reframe your mind frame. And that's that dating experience of an adventure. And starting over, you know, getting yourself out there on that pod, and you're just like waiting out there and you're just like, okay, I'm going to dip my toe in there to see how it's going to go. And then with that, you remember and think about yourself and put yourself out there to meet people. If you put yourself out there and try, at least you have said, I've tried, I've thought, I've conquered. That doesn't mean you're going to DVD drop them at all or anything like that, but you're going to think about how am I going to be there from the beginning to learn, to meet someone, you know, and get back out there and have an adventure and not have any expectations at the end of it. A lot of people disappoint themselves by having an expectation up front. And it's like, okay, do you have at least some standards? Do you have at least some boundaries? Do you have at least these things that you had a conversation when you first went out on that first date? That's a whole thing from pre-month on that first date. You'll tell whether or not you want to finish up that date and things like that. Or you'll know if you want to just run out of there with your hair, pulling your hair out, like, oh my gosh, hell no. And then, or you're going to be like, oh, yeah, well, I think you can set the date with this person. And then you can get to know them. And then over time, they'll know whether or not you want to kind of get to a point of messing with each other past the one-night anniversary. And then some people you automatically know it's not anything but a smash grab. So when you think about this, when you think about are you making the effort, are you joining your colleagues at work activities? Are you going any training, Facebook, a meeting or meetings, or are you going to, like, eHarmony? Are you going to different things like that? Are you actually going to see dating? Are you making the effort to meet and network with people? Because meeting other people is another thing, and in your social circle of people on the same echelon is also another big tip. Because I think people like to go date somebody who's like out of their reach, and then they have to go and go jumping hoops to try to make that person think that that is who they are. I would rather be my authentic self and then be a person that I'm not, and then the person's like, oh, you're not who I thought you were, and you're a catfish. I'd rather it be like a whole level of we're getting to know each other, and you know who I am, and you're getting it up front. So you're not getting a whole misnomer of, oh, I thought you looked like this, and you look like that. Okay, well, what I look like. Every day, all day. With or without makeup, I know what I look like. You know what I look like. So there is no catfish, and you're like, oh, you know, like that. Because some people actually end up having that moment where, you know, you look at their picture and they photograph well, but when you go to the date, you're just like, oh, hell no. Then you're just like, okay, did you just catfish me? I think I've got the catfish. I've been catfish. So when you get there, at that point, you have to realize whether or not you're going to be curious on this date, or you're going to make it a short date, or you're just going to look it out and be like, bruh, you're not who I thought you were. You'll look like your picture. So at that point, it's not always about picture, but you want to sometimes still entertain someone. And see if you're just gonna like them, because you know, sometimes pictures work the way they work. Some people look like models and then they look like booger dogs up front. So we really just have to kind of give ourselves open mindedness and let them meet us best. So when we think about our public transportation, chatting with people and things like that, you might be able to meet somebody while you're riding a bus. Or if you are on a chat trip and you're sharing an Uber or a Lyft or something like that, and you're just like, okay, hey, how you doing? You might meet your wife in the grocery store. You might meet your husband at the farmer's market. You might meet your wife or husband or girlfriend or whatever at a nice speakeasy or something like that. Or you'd be out there at the club and you're just like, okay, stop up there. Somebody else can't like it, like it, like it. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. So, but you still got to go dip your toe out there. So, when we think about this, open up conversations to strangers. For example, well, it's not stranger danger. If somebody gives you a freaking crazy, I don't think you want to talk to them. But when you're thinking about levels and layers of how you want to volunteer for a conversation or have something that is a talking point to get started in the conversation, then we think about starting an activity like a hiking club, or if you like bowling, or if you like to play pool, going up some pool hall and things like that, catching them, maybe getting a good drink at the local bar or something like that. If you don't drink, get a burger drink, something like that. But listening to the music and, you know, see what the tickets are out there. So but if you're not that type and you're kind of a little shy, then, you know, online dating might be the thing for you, but you got to be careful with that, too. You got to make sure the person's not a raging, start raging back. So that's a part of the things that you want to get out there if you want to make sure you're ready for dating. So now we're going to go into different things for dating tips. Part of it is people think they're successful in dating until they crash and burn, and they're just like, they have skate marks all over their face and body, and they're just like, oh, crap. Well, okay, dating sucks. This is not for me. I don't think this is what I'm going to be doing. So when we think about this, have an ideal partner, but don't have a rigid set of ideas about your ideal partner. And then expect your partner to spend all your time with you is not going to happen. So when you all think about dating, do you want a person that is independent, codependent, or do you want somebody that's in between who can be sometimes capable of being around you but not on your butt? And then you can have the other type of scenario where you have cuddle time, you have, you know, cheesy time, and things like that, but then you have time for y'all's efforts that you got to accept it. So you need to understand that. Expect your partner to agree with you on everything. It's not going to happen. Be realistic. So when you think about this, prejudice or beliefs or things you're unwilling to reconsider or consider, you need to have these things talked about up front. So the person doesn't end up like, yeah, okay, so I like you up front. Now I don't like you now. That's why I said about the falling in love part. And falling in love and having unconditional love, I'd rather have unconditional love and trust than I would have fallen in love. Because the person who is like fall in love with you, but the person who is unconditional love with you, is something deeper. And then on top of that, having trust and having some layer of confidence in person, if you have trust issues and things like that, at least having confidence in the person is better than a layer of trust, because like I say, a smart person has not trust someone 100%, but enough to where you guys can be around each other and it's not a whole bunch of you. You don't want that. You don't want that. So you really want to get to a point that you have a contention there and you have a layer of built trust over time. And as long as the person doesn't break that trust, you should be good. Or if you can't trust someone and you are a person who's more intelligent, like you're intelligent enough to know, okay, maybe I don't want to trust anybody ever, but based on your experiences, knowing how to give somebody enough leeway, like confidence in them, so that you can have a feasible, workable relationship. So, also, this is the other thing before we get into the dating tips. How and when to tell your kids that you're dating? I don't suggest you automatically tell the kids that you're dating if you have children, because you don't want to bring everybody home, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and James home with your kids. You do not want people around your kids you don't see a long-term dating situation with. You do not want to introduce somebody to Uncle Johnny or Uncle Jerry or you know, Uncle Clyde, and then you're just like, okay, that's Uncle Clyde. How many uncles you got? You know, and you don't want the kids to be like, oh, how many uncles you got? Sarah, Jane, Mary, Mika, Rhonda, Michelle, Aisha. Then it's like, okay, how many uncles I got, Daddy? And you know, I used to be asking and when you was a kid, and you just want to make sure Mama got who is. So my mama was smart. smart enough not to bring a bunch of people around us. So I'm glad they're there. So that's why I don't bring a lot of people around my child, because I don't want my child calling everybody Uncle this and Uncle that. You missed your uncle. But you want to kind of make sure that when you introduce your child to someone, it's not, oh, this uncle this and this uncle this and this uncle this, but then it's like, okay, well, you're not an uncle F, are you? Well, you know, the kids, you got to be honest with kids because they're in a digital age. They see everything and they hear everything. And by the time you get through talking about, oh, this uncle, oh, mom, what was Uncle making you scream last night? Then you have to sit there and explain it. So you want to be honest with your kids, but you want to wait until you got serious with that person, or at least you're dating them on a longer term than a one-night anniversary. So when you think about it, it's a good idea to talk to your kids about their feelings. Let them know it's okay to be angry, upset, or nervous or sad if you're going to start over again. Get up something that encourages the new friend, and you would like to get them to get to know that new friend, but over a period of time after you've done the whole spot check and you want to make sure they're all right, and you want to make sure that they're not a stark rating match, maybe this will turn psychopath, sociopath, or a narcopath, or a pathological liar, or sometimes even people being married and telling you to tell the truth. So you guys got to be careful out here in this day and age. And with the digital age, it's easy for somebody to have a persona. You don't know nothing about you. You have somebody who's married, you have somebody across the line, 20 miles away, and you would not even know it. So I would tell people a lot of the time, do your research, do your due diligence, and find out about the person before you get out here trying to trust somebody and be like, oh, yeah, I know him. And just like, then you come out, you be out somewhere, and you might see somebody, you be like, who is this? They be like, oh, that's my wife, huh? Or if you can in a situation where some lady might be trying to play out there and feel like, oh, that's my husband, huh? What's he about? So you don't want that kind of situation. So I want people to always be honest and then on top of that, communicate effectively. Because if you don't communicate effectively, what you're going to end up in is an entanglement and having to explain that mess when you get caught up. And you don't want the problem. So we're going to move to the tips and tricks. Throwing the past in someone's face is not the smartest thing to do. If somebody confides in with you in a dating situation and you decide to throw their past in their face, that means that you are being petty. You are being petty, petty, petty Pendergrass, and petty Crocker. So when you think about it, and it's an ancient history, only a few months ago, let it stay there and move on. Because I will tell you guys, people are great about, oh, it's fine, it's fine. Then you let it get to them, and then their mind starts working, and then they want to be like, well, what about so-and-so? Okay, I just told you about this in confidence. It's not meant to be a repeat conversation. So when we think about this, he or she must accept you for all that you are, and he or she has chosen to be with you. They need to accept you for all that you are, and your past as well. So when we think about this, if you have a checkered sexual history, then tell that person up front, you know, I've been to a lot of people. And if they ask you how many, tell them, I would not want to talk about that because I don't want you to have this whole idea of me that it's not what I want you to have. So, I mean, if you're not comfortable with knowing numbers and things like that, then I advise people not to use numbers because here's the thing. You might not have a long list, laundry list of people you've smashed and grabbed or, you know, did your thing with, or your son did what I have, narcissism, dead born, because we've all had our days of, well, borderline calling. And we've all done that in our 20s. But the thing is, once you get into that dating scene and you start to get into really dating things, sometimes I think less is more and not getting to the point that you have to tell them every doggone thing, because some people, you can't tell them everything, because what they'll do is they'll sit there and play that over and over in your mind. They're like, oh, yeah, it's only XYZ or company partner. And then you're like, ugh. So then at that point, you have to tell them, like, okay, now you have to explain every part that you had. So I tend to tell people, be careful what you disclose in the beginning. Until y'all have built that rapport and that person's like, oh, it doesn't matter. Or if you really know that person mentally, how they won't play it in your head, as long as you don't give too many details, you should be all right. But if that person is like really, really like one of those people, how many lucky missing? And then they get all grossed out by it, then definitely just say, I've been with enough people, that's all you need to know. You know, it's just one of those kinds of things you just want to be careful with. Because you just do not want to get to the point that you end up having a person one all the way away with their head cut off looking crazy because they heard how many people you get. Or they heard around, and this is another thing. Y'all stop listening to everybody out in the streets about the person you're trying to date. Here's the reason why. it doesn't mean that a person doesn't like you based on your sexual history, but the thing is, some people lie on their dick and some people lie on their vagina. So the thing is, you do not want to listen to everybody who says they catch your pants, because you won't be around here looking crazy and lazy. And then for you men, the same thing. If you listen to every guy that lies on his dick about a female, you will be right here and doing this walker and be angry and upset for no reason. I will tell you guys, always ask someone up front if you want to know something, but if you don't want to know the answer, then don't ask. It's just that simple. Because if a person's going to hold it against you, you just don't want that. It's not. Like, look, Blair, you're not ready for this. You're not quite ready for this type of thing here. Okay? So when we think about all these different things, and we think about layers of how you're going to have your relationship and how you're going to be with someone, and you got to make sure that you're not ending in a situation where you're squabbling or upset because the person decides that they want to play games. And then they want to be mad. One day, and their victory is like, oh, that's fine. So that's that. Then we think about, if the person's constantly bringing up your past, tell them flat out. If they're going to have to accept everything about you, and if he or she wants to date you, then deal with it. So when you think about this, you have two choices. Either you two break up, or maybe you stay together. So when we think about all these different things, that's part of it. Either we're going to do this or not. So either you're going to deal with the past, or you're going to go get past the past, and you're going to go date me for the future. So when we think about all these different things, we have to think about, if you stay together, you can't mention the sexual past, you can't mention the sexual partners, or things like that, live in the past to the point that it's like, but aren't you going to go and date that person? Because you talk about them so much. So when we think about this, not even when you two are fighting, don't bring that kind of crap up. Please don't, y'all. Let me tell you something about fighting fair. Fighting fair is not bringing up things that you know will piss that person off. And fighting fair is not bringing up somebody else's past or their sexual past or the other people that they dated, whether it's an ex-wife, ex-girlfriend, ex-husband, or ex-boyfriend, or if it was a life partner or something like that. Don't do it, because what y'all will end up doing is the culture pump and the culture pump will all argue, and it gets down to the pity-pity, the pity-demigrant, the pity-proper, and you will be so angry and upset. And if y'all will be losing sight of the argument that y'all had, what was the subject matter was about, then you'll just be like, okay, you want to play? Okay, you want to play? That's what it gets to. So you don't want to get to the point that y'all get to the point that y'all are taking personal deeds. And then learn from your mistakes and move on to the next, and things like that. Here's the reason why I say this. If y'all don't get to the point that y'all can get past some of the small stuff, then what are you going to do with the next big thing? So when we think about all of these things, we have to understand that, like, with dating, it is a layer of, you know, it's not a battle of the sexes, it's an exchange of power here. And once you learn what that means, the exchange of power is being able to exchange a little control and a little of, okay, you know, I'll let you win this one. Talk this out. Let's have this conversation. Let's unpack this here. And let's go from here to here to here. That's what these accords are for. And then being able to move laterally across the conversations without having personal things. So that's that on that. And let's go to the next one. Because I want you guys to understand how imperative and how important it is for us to always get to a layer and depth of being able to respect each other, but remember that everybody has their different views. And then on top of that, a lot of people get into a situation of wanting to stay in a rut. And part of that in dating is being able to get past the rut part to go and move on to someone new. But if you're holding on to the past, like I said, staying in a rut is not going to help with a new person. And then you're going to have them thinking, are you making mistakes? So that's the reason why I asked you this question earlier. We're going to get into the sexual part. I may not be friends with some, but I can still make your bed fall. Here's the thing. A lot of people like to boast on their sex. I advise people don't do that. Don't boast on, I can do this and I can do that, and don't deliver. So when we think about this, come on, you can do better than that. Just put yourself together in a dating profile together. And when you embellish on your sex being the most primary important thing, what happens when you guys get down to do the new? You think about this. You think about avoiding pickup lines. You think about, like the one I just said. I might not be friends with, though, but I can make your big rock. I mean, how corny is he these guys? Oh, when you get to those points, contention when you're going out there and dating, you're going to pick up lines. What are some good
hey, there's something that doesn't sound so cheesy and cornballish. I mean, you should be all right. So when you think about this, taking up lines and things like that on your dating profile are just like, no, just don't do that. So when we think about this, I've seen dating profiles with these kind of subject lines, and you're just like, dude, you're cornball. And so when we're thinking about all these things, you have to look at the romantic line above and look at the romance in that one cornball line. What does that say? Like, I'm just trying to smash and grab. So it's like, okay, next, slide to the left. Slide to the right. So when we think about this, the above the subject line is too raw. So it's just too much, and it's just like, hey, we know you're out here. It's like a Tinder line, or it's like a Plenty of Fish line. But if you're on eHarmony, or if you're on Facebook dating, or if you're on something else, or another dating website, or SoberSingles.com, or, you know, ChristianEagle.com, I don't think that Fred Flintstone line would be the appropriate thing for you to get somebody there. So it's going to be like, oh, my Rambo. Let's get my pearls in the trash. You know, so we're thinking about those type of things. You want to be able to date appropriately and effectively without doing something like this. And you're like, I might not be friends with somebody to make your bedrock. I can make your bedrock. I'm like, okay, no. Next, so slide to the left. So when we think about all those things, here are some tips to help you together, putting together your dating profile. And we're going to do this in a several mini series of dating and things like that, but this is part one. I want you guys to understand dating profile 101. So we're going into this in steps and things like that because, like I told you, it's going to be a mini-series of, like, 25 parts. But I want you guys to be able to get the first part, which is getting your dating profile down, and then moving on to the next thing. So we're thinking about these different things. One, don't use negativity on your profile. And I automatically look at your dating profile, and it's a big turnoff. You don't need to have car keys to drive you crazy. When you look at dating profiles, that's work in and of itself. It's exhausting. And when you're thinking about this, I may not look like much, but I'm drinking the milk. So when we're thinking about the glass half empty and glass half full, you do not want to look at a profile and be like, oh, that's full. Nope. No, thank you. Next. So when we think about this, you know, if you want me, come and get me. Those are ridiculous, stupid lines. And it's just like, what are you talking about, bro? What are you talking about, sis? I mean, why do you sound like a player? You press a lot. Next. So when we think about this, you want to think about a line that says, hey, looking for a nice guy, looking for a nice girl to have a nice date. You know, would you like to have a nice date tonight? Come and talk to me. You know, something like that. Something simple that lets somebody know that you're interested, but you're putting your feelings out there. You know, single mom looking for a nice guy. Or single dad looking for a night, or if you're gay, or if you're bisexual, homosexual, whatever you want to have your tagline in, this is long, it's not some cheesy, corny mess like that. You know, like, I might not be pregnant, but I can still make your bedrock. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, homosexual, homosexual, you're sexual. You know, and at the end of the day, you just don't want to be overly sexual in your profile unless that's what you're trying to put out there, and unless you're on something like a meat market, like Tag or Plenty of Fish or Tinder. So when we're thinking about these different things, you think about a dating profile, what's going to work for you, and then you might have some positive profile. If you want to be having a first impression as a lasting impression, and part of this is that you don't want to come across as a jerk or a jerkette, and you don't want to come across as too cheesy, and you don't want to come across as a free toe either. And so when you think about it, if you think about line, you come across as a jerk or a sleaze ball, or this is Nick Sleazy, So when you think about this, you want a McDreamy and a McSleazy. You do not want a McSleazy. So when we think about all these, you want to build the ambiance and curiosity into your profile. You want to bring that ambiance and that level of feeling like, oh. And when we think about a Thursday subject line, have you ever been to Fuji the Chow? You know, something like that. Whatever restaurant it is, have you been to T.S. Chang? I'd like to take you up tonight. That's a simple level of a tagline to let you know that the person wants to take you out to dinner or have a nice date. Or, you know, this is out of curiosity. When you think about what you want in a man or woman when they click and read your profile, you know, when you think about a dater would be curious about what is Booty Joe? What is T.S. Chang? What is, you know, Ruth Chris? You know, when you think about those different things like that, between you and I, a fabulous steakhouse or a fabulous Chinese or a fabulous Hibachi place is a great start out on a first date. Because when you think about this, you can go on from there and add more. So when somebody's like, what's Fuji Chow? What's this? You know, you're going to be starting to think, okay, all right, let's go to Fuji Chow tonight. And let's go take this thing. Let's go camping. Let's go somewhere like that. You know, when we're thinking about all these different things, you can go from here and add more. And then you have to think about another utopia and another level of adding your dating profile to be more. Yeah, to have your feelers out there and get some better layers of people, prospects, and things like that. So you won't waste your time and be like, five to left, five to right. Okay, that date sucks. Okay, this date sucks. Okay, this date's going to work out. So you just don't want to be so blank that you're just like, man, next, or maybe next, next, right. Okay, next, all right. Yeah, maybe. But when you don't start looking at that, people don't want to hear some crazy stories. When we think about what's in your profile, get a little taste of who you are, but don't overdo it. So when you think about, I'm a firefighter. I'm also working with him, I'm passing a sports bar and things like that. That gives you enough understanding that the guy's a firefighter. He might be real super sexy and have muscles and everything else. And just like, okay, kind of like that. Or he says, I'm a doctor, and I'm working on my my next layer of what I want to do in my profession as a cardiologist. Okay. Cool. So you're a cardiologist, so I know that. All right, cool. So you give me kind of some idea that you're a doctor, you have your own practice. Okay, great. Wonderful. Okay, become a lawyer. Same. You know, a single lawyer out here looking for an inmate. All right, so let me know that you have a law practice or you are in a part of legal. Okay, so that's a possibility. My special possibilities. So when you're thinking about this, they are going to read about details about you. But not over details, but give them enough to have them wanting to come back for more. And if you have goals and things that you want to do, so that's something you have to know to you. And they start being a little bit more interested in space with, oh, let me contact this person. So you really want to be able to get to a point that you're able to look at that person and automatically, once you see it, you read it, you're like, okay, that's cool. That's in my dating pool. Okay, here in one. Okay, here next. Okay, like that one. So when you think about that, always be honest in your dating profile. Please, like I said, do not embellish on something you do not have. Or do not embellish about a career you do not have. Do not start out saying you're a doctor when you might be a nurse. Do not start out saying that you are a lawyer when you are a paralegal. So when you think about these things, have an up-to-date photo showing what you look like today, not 10 years ago. A lot of people, I don't know what it is that when you do that, you're making a person think that they're getting that person. So it's almost like catfishing someone. Let somebody see that you've aged. Show your different pictures and things like that. It's okay. So that person gets a realistic view of you, so you're not going to go give them a whole 10 years back when you might not have had gray hair or when you might have, like, you know, lost 30, 40 pounds back then, but you're 30, 40 pounds heavier now. So here's the thing. When you get out there dating, be honest. Make sure that they understand your height, sex, location, and things like that. And then on top of that, make sure that they got a pictorial view of who they're dating. So when they meet you, it's not a whole run out there and be like, oh, I'm not doing that. So when we think about this, never say your name is Dwayne or something like that when it might be Donna. Do not say, okay, I'm Dwayne, or I'm Wayne, or something like that, and it might be something else. Get your original name, or whatever your alias is, talk to that person up front and tell them your real name, so that they're not going on a wild shape thinking that they're being somebody that they're not. And then on top of that, what is they, and it's not them to lie about who you are, because too many things can go background check. And I offer that on don'tdatehimorher.com. We do background checks, get traced and all this other kind of stuff. And then I'll have the other layers of a service that I'll have out there for you guys for TV. So we have the ability to go get traced and all this kind of stuff. We also do international. So I want you guys to understand that part of this is because I've been through that where you just get to date somebody and you don't really know who you're dating. And I've been through that. It's something wild when you're just like, oh my God, Becky, who the heck is this? So when you're thinking about this, people like to be with winners. when we think about this, you want to think somebody who's not a whole total loser, probably got like freaking 10, 15 kids and knew nothing about it, and he's like, you only said he's got 5, or he's only got 3, and then you find out he's got 5 and your wife, or things like that, or vice versa, or she says she's only got 1 kid and she might have 5. So you just want to get a person to be upfront. You want somebody to, you know, kind of a string name that stands for who you are. But at the end of the day, when you finally need something, you give them your real name. You don't want us going through that, but if you're comfortable with that, then that's fine. But you do not want to get to a point of lying. And so somebody thinks that your whole name, that you have a line, is the name that you really go by. So you just want to make it clear when you first meet up that, hey, my name is actually this, and this is my profile, and things like that. So when you think about that, it shows a little bit more of your character. Also, when you get a letter to your screen name and never put numbers behind your name, like, I'm for real, gorgeous brown eyes, things like that, that's fine. When you have gorgeous brown eyes or gorgeous green eyes or gorgeous change of life, that's just going to be like, oh, someone's person said angel eyes, nice. Or if someone's person said gorgeous brown eyes, okay. So when you think about this, you should get to the point and you should get clear, cut, concise who this person is. So when you think about this, people like warriors, people like people who are motivated or doing something, people do not like losers as well. Okay? I'm sorry to say, I am being honest. People do not like people who are not going any place or in the same direction as they are. So do not embellish. That's why I said, be who you are so that person can know whether or not they want to deal with you or not. And on top of that, if your self-confidence is in who you are, you should not have to have a problem here at all. But if you have a level of not self-confidence in yourself and you're starting to go embellish a bit, then you might want to work on your confidence level before you get out there dating, because you're going to end up matching up somebody else trying to go figure out if you have confidence or not. So don't be a whole beta male out here and try to be an alpha male. If you're a beta male, you're a beta male. If you're omega, then you're omega. If you're an alpha male, then you're an alpha male. You don't have to say you're an alpha male. We'll know it. If you're alpha female, then we'll know it. So when you think about those different things like that, just try to present yourself as you are. Come as you are, is basically the thing. Then we think about, make sure you put in your profile that you can offer and what you can as a person. Please do not embellish what you cannot offer. If you're not a millionaire or billionaire, then don't do it. If you are not a thousandaire, then don't do it. If you are poor and don't turkey, then you're pathetic. Nobody wants to date somebody based on their finances and things like that. And it's, and I'm going to tell you, this is the last but not least before we end this session. And if a woman is asking about your wallet up front, sir, pack up your things and then tie your shoes and walk out the door. Ma'am, if a guy is asking you about your finances and things up front, pack up your things, take your heels, put them back on, and walk out the door. Because that is not the finesse in dating. Don't get me wrong, finances are important as you get to the point of really dating that person. For preliminary upfront, talking about finances is not acceptable. And then on top of that, talking about certain things are just not acceptable. So a lot of people don't know how to date initially and get that one-on-one rapport first. Before you go into, oh, I thought this, and this, and trying to tell somebody, oh, yeah, I make thousands and thousands of dollars. You're okay, so what? Good morning. Are you a dick? Are you a cunt? You know, it's just like, I need to know you first before we get to finances. Now, if I've known you and I'm going to date you, then, okay, we know your finances are fine. But if it's a preliminary date, getting to know you and things like that, I don't really want to care about how much money you make until we get to the point that we'll really start going to just, we're living together or we're going to be going into marriage and we can really talk about finances, where are you at with your credit, those different things. But even at that, sometimes you need to also kind of hint if you're having financial issues and problems as you get more serious so you can prepare a long-term route. Because the worst thing you can do is date somebody and then you find out their finances are in the toilet or they're dealing with financial problems. It's like when someone is sometimes kind of sort of like in the preliminary dating phase, so we can work on this to us getting together. Because when you're talking about being an apartment, you're talking about being houses, and you're talking about qualifying for different things, you do not want to marry someone and then find out that they've got all these problems in this place. How do you marry your problem? So you don't want that, or I just say it's your problem, especially if you're getting serious and you're starting to talk about moving in together. So those are all the things about being honest. So honesty is the best policy. And then make sure you put on your profile what you're looking for and the type of person that you are up front so that they get a disclaimer. Do not go wait to give them a disclaimer after the fact. You have practiced them mentally, emotionally about who you are. So please don't put that you're this type of person when you're not. If you're a whole ass, then you're a whole ass. If you're a whole person who is nice and sweet, then you're a whole sweet person. But if you're a complete dickwad and a cynical jerk, then that's who you are. Please don't think like you're a nice person when you're just rather like you for who you are than embellishing that you're this, that, and the other. Because like I said, you meet the representative up front, then you meet the real man about 3 days more. So really expect the unexpected, but within a 3 month time, you're going to start seeing the real them. Like at least show a portion of the real you somewhere along the line with your representative so that person can ease into getting to know you. That whole catfishing somebody about who you are really blows a person after a while because then you're like, you're not who you said you were. And then that's where that falling out of love thing and like I was trying to tell you guys, the whole presentation up front sets the tone of the relationship towards the middle and then when you're talking about maybe possibly you're ending a relationship and you're really seeing the person who they are, then you're going to be disappointed, then you're going to be scarred for life, or you might have mental emotional scars, or you might have baggage. So that's where you're going to go back to the stage one where we're talking about art. So that's why you give yourself enough time between dating so that you can get at least someone without having excess baggage. Baggage and things like that, y'all, I had some time moment for you with. Think about that. Yeah, it is. I'm going to think about that for sure. But it happens. So when we think about excess baggage and things like that, we have to think about not having that baggage coming into the relationship. If you do, have somebody who's willing to take that baggage off and get at the front door. So when you bring that person in, you're just like, come hither. And you start meeting each other on the same stage and same standards. So with that being said, I wanted to make sure that we close out this show with something good, and I want you guys to know that when you're dating and you're dating out there, that's how you be a profile, that's how you start out. So we're going to go into the second set of tips probably tomorrow or the next day, whenever week two or three. So I think we have a little bit more time for a couple of more tips and tricks along the way in passing the profile, because I want to give you guys more bang for your buck, and especially to make sure that we're doing everything that we can possible to have a good show. And I'm going to invite guests on. You can call 515-602-9755 and make sure that you guys absolutely call in if you like. And I am absolutely on. So call 515-602-9765. Tell me how you like the show. And also tell me about your dating experiences. Tell me how it was. And let me know exactly what it was like for you guys when you first went out there dating and how you really felt. And with that being said, the phone lines are open, so I will allow you guys to call in 515-602-9765. So I want to make sure we get that, and then we go from there. And let's use some affirmations on dating, because I think a lot of people get into the dating part, and they think that they don't have to do anything, and they think that, like, you don't have to have a positive mindset dating someone. So an affirmation for dating and reflecting on who you want, what you want in your dating profile is being able to understand that you're together but separate. But exemplifying unconditional acceptance is important in dating. And here's the reason why. When you say I exemplify unconditional acceptance in dating, you're accepting that person as they are. When we say this, we say, I exemplify unconditional acceptance. Many others around me feel that they're extremely important to me when I date them. When I think about this, I'm conscious of how others are with me. When I think about this, when they are realizing that they are accepted, they are realizing they're coming to my dating world, my beyond, and they're becoming one with me. Together, but separate, but we're final, same place, and the same level of kinship. So when we think about this, I believe it's my responsibility to always make others feel worthy. I believe it's my responsibility to feel someone out, get to know them, and then put them on the same dating site as myself, and we're still on the same scale here. So when we think about this, I can teach others unconditional acceptance and how they accept me as I am, and by my example of 100% who I'm supposed to be. So when we think about this, when I really accept flaws and shortcomings of my fellow man, my fellow human species, and human beings, we think about this as I look upon as a peacemaker and a generous heart. So when we think about this, being generous with myself and allowing you into my world, we're allowing you to be able to accept me as I am and come as you are. So when we think about this, if you come into my world, I want to think about when less fortunate kids are at my children's school or burying themselves in the corner because they feel inferior. I want to make sure it gets the opposite feeling comes off for the thing that they're dating. When someone comes to date me, I don't want them to feel inferior. I want them to feel like they're getting all of me. They're getting at least the real me. They're not getting my representative, they're getting the real me. So we're thinking about this. We think about encouraging them to come out and shine. And shine is who they really are. Shed a little light on me as to who you are so that we can get to a point of dating each other and dating the real us. So when we think about all of this, we're thinking about encouraging them to believe that their light isn't bright as anybody else and it deserves to shine. So when we think about this, it deserves to be seen. But let me see it through real eyes, not real eyes for life, bad lives. So when we think about these different things, I don't want to be lied to. I want the real you, not your representative. So when we think about this, I accept them as they are, and I hope they accept me as I come. And as I come to them, I dare to accept them as they are. So we think about this, and what I do to make them feel comfortable with me, and part of that is going to be the best policy. So we think about this, encourage my family members to be kind to people from all different backgrounds and be open-minded. So when we think about this, I remind my children that we are here in this world because of our creator, and as important to us as my children and things like that. Well, I have one child living that I have biologically had, but the children that I have fired in my life, you may meet them along the line as kids. Period. So when we think about this, each part of these caveats today is important. I encourage them to look at anybody else's part as one more piece of theirs and being open-minded and exposed that person is to our life. So when we think about this, today I accept everyone around me with wide open arms, and I exemplify unconditional acceptance in my faith life. So when we think about this, I appreciate and respect that our differences and things like that are what's going to make the sparks fly. So when we think about this, what makes us unique and special is being able to have exemplifying unconditional acceptance. And then on top of that, I teach my kids and do I teach myself to show acceptance and how. You have to be able to answer these questions and these things. Then we think about, is it difficult for me to offer unconditional acceptance to others around me? So when we think about this, it's just like a bad AC. It's just like poisonous air. When we think about all those different things, when you have poisonous air, you don't want to poison your mind and start having not conditional acceptance of someone else. So when you have a poisonous person or a deadly person or like a deadly AC that speaks poisonous gas, you have to think about the layers of depth of how difficult a person is. You have to think about how poisonous a person can be if they don't give you radical acceptance. And it's the same thing with dating a poisonous individual. You have to make sure that you're dating for a while that you're not poisonous, you're not deadly, you're not homicidal, you're not a red flag, or something that I cannot accept. So when we think about this, how can I better exemplify unconditional acceptance by absolutely accepting others? So in that sense of the word, we're thinking about toxic individuals. We're thinking about toxic individuals. You don't want to date somebody who's poisonous, deadly, homicidal, or messed up, or somebody who's willing to do anything to mess you up in anything. You don't want a person who is a pathological liar or abuser or emotional abuser or environmental terrorist or anything like that. You don't want to date somebody who presents as charming and ends up being a nightmare. And then when you think about this, you don't want a sadistic homicidal sociopath. So when you think about that, it's just a poison safety or a poisonous person dating, or a person who presents as French charming ends up being O.J. Simpson or ends up being a homicidal or F. So you don't want that type of person. It's the same thing with a female. So when you think about this, you don't want a black widow or a black widow type of husband. So when you think about that, you don't want that in a dating situation and scenario. So when we think about all these different things and exemplifying unconditional acceptance. So when we think about those self-reflective questions, you have to ask yourself, am I ready to date? Am I ready to get out there and radically accept someone and be able to accept someone as they are and as they want to be? So with that being said, phone lines are open 515-602-9765. I'll take a couple of calls. If you guys don't want to call in, that's fine. I'm just leaving the lines open. We're going to try to do this. And then from there, we will exit out of this and have a good night. Done. Other than that, I hope this was a good presentation for you guys. I hope you guys go to book your appointments on the website, imtccoaching.com, zandivacoaching.com, teamworld.online.com, and then on top of that, imtc.com. So make sure you also call the number 833-IMCC, 833 for my appointment, 833-BOOK-ME-TOO. So make sure you do that. 833-IMCC, 833 for my appointment, and 833-BOOK-ME-TOO. And then the website, imtccoaching.com, zondivacoaching.com,
and then on also at teamworld.online, and then also imcc.com to get my exclusive actual appointment schedule. So definitely, as your life coach, your wellness coach, your divorce coach, I hope you guys love this. I hope you love this presentation, and I hope you guys understand what it's like to actually get out there and date, and I hope these tips and tricks help you. And I hope you guys don't run into a catfish. I hope you guys don't run into a psychopath, sociopath. And I hope you don't run into an abuser, provoker, gaslighter, or an emotional abuser, or environmental terrorist, or anything like that. I hope you guys actually get the way you said, somebody who's not psychopathic, somebody who's not a pathological, emotional abuser, tormentor, and I hope you don't have to heal for much or end up being a psychiatrist, therapist, life coach, or wellness coach, or a wellness coach like myself. But if you end up coming to see me, I'll help you out with different tips and tricks. And I hope you guys like the presentation. You guys have a nice, nice, fun.